morning. Welcome to Birch Ridge. My name is Milton. I'm really glad that you're here today as we continue walking through this series talking about the armor of God. And if you've been paying attention, we're getting down there. We're going to talk about the shoes of peace today. And before we actually get there, I find it interesting. The world has a definition of peace. We're talking about peace, and I've really been just contemplating this message for maybe an unfair amount of time compared to the other messages, because I've just been really struggling. Like, how do we do this? What does it actually mean to put on the shoes of peace, and understanding what peace is and where peace comes from, and these things. And so it's fascinating to me when I look at the world's definition of peace. And you may want to write this down, it'll be on the screen, but the world's definition of peace is the absence of hostility, war, or conflict. The absence of hostility, war, or conflict. I just find that fascinating, that the world would define it with the absence of something negative rather than focusing on the presence of something positive. But it just goes to reason, right? The world's way is always 180 degrees out of God's way. And so God always wants us to look at the positive and something that's positive, and the world wants to look at the negative. And so they define peace as the absence of something negative. I just find that interesting. But anyway, I want us to jump in. We're going to look at the scripture, the text for this series, The Armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. If you have your Bible, I'm going to encourage you to open that. And Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 13 through 17. All right, everybody ready? Here we go. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the what? Peace, that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It says, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Now, we're going to come back to that a little bit later, but I want us to think about what does that actually mean? To put on the shoe, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news. We all know that the good news is the gospel. The gospel actually talks about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, right? So for shoes, put on the good news that comes from, or put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. And we'll come back to that. Fully prepared for what, right? What does that mean? So it causes me to ask the question, like, what do a lot of people think about when they think about peace? What comes to mind where does anybody have any guesses, like, where a lot of people in the world find peace? Anybody? Things? Yeah, possessions? You know, nature? I mean, some people think they find peace walking in the trees, right? Some people say they find peace sitting beside a roaring ocean. Some say they find peace doing yoga, right? Some say they find peace spending time with family. Never met my family, but I'm just kidding. But seriously, you know, peace from trees, from ocean, from yoga. Like, should we be surprised? Now, I'll come back to that in a minute. But just we say we find peace in different areas. And I think that very well could be. So I'm not coming against finding peace in nature, for instance. You know, but I want us to understand something. You may find it there, but it didn't originate there. Okay? The peace doesn't come from nature. It originated somewhere else. So you may find it there, but it didn't originate there. Okay. So just so we understand that. People find peace in all kinds of different things, right? And we've already discussed, like last week, how the devil wants us to wants us to believe that somehow we could find our own way to heaven through our own good deeds instead of through the shed blood of Jesus, right? And so if he wants us to think that we can find our own nirvana, our own way to heaven through our good deeds, then it only stands to reason he probably wants us to think that we can find peace within. We can find peace anywhere, right? Any old road will get you there as long as you're sincere about your beliefs, right? I mean, should we be surprised that the devil wants us to believe that we could have peace within apart from the Holy Spirit inside of us? I mean, soon we will just be that important and efficient that we won't need God at all. At least that's what the world's shooting for, right? We find a way to just eliminate the need of God, yet truth remains the truth, whether we believe it or not. Amen? So let us read from God's word again, Romans chapter 3. Let's just see how cool we are, right? Let's just see how self-sufficient and awesome we are. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. Now you're just going to be totally encouraged by these verses. You ready? As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. Their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Everybody feeling good so far? Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. And I'm going to invite you to say this sentence with me, the last sentence. They do not know where to find peace. The world has no idea where to find peace. They just don't. The world is clueless. Some people say that they find peace sitting at home watching their favorite sports team. Some people say they find peace on vacation. Some people say they have to find peace by going to work. Some people say they find peace climbing a mountain. Some people say they find peace going to the gym and working out. Some people claim to find peace in the bottom of a bottle. Some people say they find peace with a needle. People claim to find peace in various venues. Should we be surprised? We should not be surprised, and we should not be deceived, because the scripture says there is but one truth, and there is one source of peace, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He is peace. He is true peace. Again, you can find peace sitting beside an ocean, but it didn't originate at the ocean. You can find peace in the woods, but peace didn't originate in the woods. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. Nowhere else, no other venue, Christ himself, Christ alone has brought peace to us. John chapter 14 and verse 27, it says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Suppose you were the one who heard this. I'm sorry. We've done everything we could. Your husband didn't survive the surgery. Or, sir, the diagnosis is not good. Cancer has spread to every major organ in your body. Time is short. Or when a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force comes up and knocks on your door to give you the death message of one of your parents. How would you respond? What would you do? Would the world see a worldly response in you? Or would the world see something that leaves them with the jaw dropped open in amazement that there is something pleasantly different about you? Church, please hear me. The peace of God is very supernatural. I mean, the scripture talks about a peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace that just does not make sense, a peace that the world cannot comprehend or grasp, that to look at you and experience in a time of pain, in a time of disease, in a time of sickness, in a time of loss, in a time of death, in a time of bankruptcy, in a time of addiction, in a time of all this stuff, to go, how is it that you can remain so calm and peaceful in such chaos? What is it about you? There's something intriguing, something attractive, something different. And isn't that why we're here, y'all? Like, once we accept Jesus as our Savior, isn't that why we're here, is to help others know Him? And part of that is, like, you know, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Right? Like, we are to live the gospel. We are to live differently. We are to live in a way that people go, whoa, you're not just the average person. There's something unique about you. I want what you have. The peace of God is supernatural. So we looked at what the world's definition of peace, right? The absence of hostility, war. What was the other word? Conflict. Thank you. The absence of those things. But let's look at the real definition of peace is. The real definition of peace is this: incredible calmness in the middle of a storm because of God's presence. Right? It's focusing on the presence of something positive. It's the incredible calmness in the middle of a storm because of God's presence. You see, you and I are to experience the peace of God. Better yet, you and I are to put on the shoes of peace every single day. And when you're standing in the middle of the battle, and you're standing in the middle of this chaos, people will see the calmness about you. They'll see the peace that's within you. And they'll just know that there's something different, something supernatural, something attractive, something strangely and pleasantly different. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 says, then you will experience what? God's peace. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So if I were to ask you a question, say, who here wants peace? Probably everybody would raise their hand. Who wants peace? Everybody want peace? You want peace in your life? But if I were to ask it differently and ask, would you rather have peace or would you rather have great peace? I'm thinking we'd probably all want a little bit more, like the great peace. Everybody right? Am I right? We would all opt for the great peace versus just regular peace, okay? There's a verse in Scripture here that I want to share. And back in my days when I used to be a little bit more outspoken and obnoxious than I am now, when somebody used to say, somebody would critique me for wearing blue jeans to preach, I would come up on stage with my blue jeans on and I would quote Psalm 119 verse 165 in the King James, and I would say, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Right? And they say, preachers that sweat offend you, I'd go like this. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall, right? But I'm much more calmer and tamer now. And I read this verse in a different translation, in the New Living Translation, and it spoke to me this week a completely different message, actually talking about the peace. And I want us to look at that. Psalm 119, verse 165, it says, those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. Digest that a little bit. Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. Might I go as far then to say that how much you love God's word might determine the amount of peace that you experience? I mean, you can do what you want with it, but that's the way I read that verse. You want more peace? Fall more in love with Jesus and His Word. You want more peace? Spend more time in His Word. Those who love your instructions have great peace. Do not stumble. All right, so let's get to the heart of the matter. The shoes of peace. How do we put on the shoes of peace? That is the question we haven't answered yet today. And I'm telling you, I've struggled with this all week, or actually for longer. Like, what does this actually mean? And then I actually believe this week God answered that. God showed me, spoke to me, and said, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Put on the peace that comes from the good news. The good news is the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection, right? So when you believe and receive what Jesus did for you, then you have the blood of Christ applied to the doorpost of your heart, and you have peace. Right? Those without Jesus have no peace. I don't care what you say. You might say you have, no, you don't. There is no peace apart from Christ. And until you have invited him into your heart, until you can completely understand the gospel, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, we're not talking about people who, oh, Lord, please, you know, no, we're talking about Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, I believe it is, says, but God commendeth, or God demonstrated his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not while we were begging for, no, while we were still spitting in his face, while we were still cursing his name, while we were still living for self, while we were still ignoring God, denying God, God demonstrated incredible love that you and I will never be able to fathom. While we were still doing all that, God sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to be the sin payment for you and I. He died. And the scripture says that he was crucified and he was buried. But on the third day, God raised him from the dead. And he says, that, remember the imputed righteousness? He did all of that, and all we did was believe and receive, right? And now he looks at you and he doesn't see a vile, wicked sinner. He sees the righteousness, right? That's peace that comes from having the blood of Christ applied to the doorpost of your heart. Listen, if you don't know Jesus, you have no peace. You have no hope. I don't care what you've been blinded, what you've been lied about too. You have no peace and you can have no peace. Don't leave here without Jesus. He is the only way. He is the truth in the life. Make sure that blood is applied to the doorpost of your heart. And when you do, you'll understand, there's peace. That's peace beyond anything the world can offer or understand. It's just beyond comprehension. But again, once you receive Jesus, why in the world are we still here? This is a messed up place. He left you here so that we could share that good news, the gospel, for peace, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, not only applied to the doorpost of your heart, but living in such a way that those around us, our family, our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors, so that they can hear about the good news, the gospel themselves. Now, we can't make them become Christians, but we can offer what we have. We can offer the only way to true peace. And that's why we're here. And there's a peace that comes that is beyond all understanding when we not only have it ourselves, but live in such a way that we offer it to everybody else around us. And live in such a way that people can see Jesus in us. So there was that God gave me this week of what does it mean to put on the shoes of peace? For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so you'll be fully prepared. Now, we could go into a whole nother sermon right there and just go part two here. You know, what does that mean so that you'll be fully prepared? Fully prepared for what? For a battle? For whatever may come up the next day? Fully prepared for the return of the Lord? Because, listen, None of you have a stamped guarantee of tomorrow. We got today. Oh, you know what? I am much too cool, much too busy, much too rich, much too disturbed, much too addicted, much too whatever to accept Jesus. Someday I'll get my life together. Someday I'll give my heart to Jesus. Scripture says, you fool. You fool. This very day your life will be required of you. None of us have a guarantee that couldn't be our diagnosis for today. We put on that the shoes of peace, that gospel, so that we'll be prepared for what? It could be for just the battle of the day. It could be for the return of Jesus. It could be at any moment. But then the other thing that the Lord gave me this week as I was thinking is like, what does it mean to put on the shoes? And I'm like, it hit me. The shoes of peace to me speaks a culmination or a byproduct of all the other pieces of armor that we've talked to up until this point. So walk through this with me. So we wake up every morning, we slip our legs out from under the covers, we put our feet firmly on the ground and we say, Lord, I'm reporting for duty. And God, I don't know, it could be a really crummy day. It could be lots of difficulty, lots of trouble, lots of battles and sorrow, lots of things going on. I don't know, but I just know that you called me to be prepared, so I'm putting on the armor. And we start head to toe, and I put on the helmet of salvation, and that reminds me that I'm saved. I'm saved from hell. I'm saved to heaven. I'm saved to have the best life here and now. I'm reminded that I'm not the boss of me, that I am not that my body is not mine to make the decisions, that I've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus, and I am to honor God with my body, which is his. And it reminds me then also that I am saved, and the Father holds me securely in his hands, and no one is able to pluck me out of his hands. And then I put on that breastplate of righteousness. God, as I put on that breastplate, I'm reminded of the imputed righteousness. I'm reminded that when you did all the work and all I did was just believe and receive, now you look at me and you see the righteousness of Jesus. Wow, that's so cool, God, thank you. And then I'm reminded of the imparted righteousness that when I believed in you, you put your spirit in me, and that gave me the ability to actually live a holy life, live a righteous life. That is so cool. Lord, help me to live rightly today. Because that third part of the breastplate is living in such a way that the world may know. Of living right so that people see something different, something strangely attractive about the peace that I have. And then I hold up the shield of faith. And that shield of faith reminds me of things. That faith is simply taking God at his word. He said it, I believe it, that settles it. That faith comes through God's word. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I need more faith, so I need to get in your word. And I need to get in your word every day. Help me to be obedient to reading and studying your word. And that faith, that shield of faith, as I'm holding it up, it obviously reminds me that I'm not exempt from attacks. I'm not exempt from trouble. Matter of fact, Jesus promised them quite the opposite. In John 16:33, I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. And that shield of faith, though, when I hold it up, I'm reminded that I am saved through faith, that I am justified through faith, and I am strengthened through faith. And I hold up that shield, and I'm reminded that I am not who the world says I am. I'm not who the devil says I am. I'm not even who I often say that I am. I'm who God says that I am. And Lord, I just help me to walk through all those beautiful things that you tell me in Scripture, that you have plans to bless me and prosper me, to give me a hope and a future. Remind me, God, that I am a conqueror, that I'm an overcomer, that I am blessed coming in and blessed going out, God. And all those things, as I hold up that shield of faith, and then I put on the belt of truth, and that reminds me of the power of truth, that there is incredible raw power in just speaking truth, that truth is in short supply in our world today, that we need integrity, we need character, we need morals, we need trustworthiness, we need just spoken truth in our world today. And as I put on that belt of truth, it also reminds me of the person of truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through you, Father. Right? I'm reminded of the purpose of truth, that there is so much deceitfulness and so much sin in the world, and the Christians are hard to be telling. It's hard to tell the Christians apart from the world sometimes, and we need to live in such a way that the world see there's something different. There's something inside of us that is attractive and something that they need. And so I'm reminded to live truth and speak truth. And as I put on all these pieces of God's armor, the natural byproduct is peace. Wow, as you put on that, if you do that every morning and just put all that on and you just walk through those things that the armor reminds you of, you can't not have peace. You will be exuding peace. A peace that is incomprehensible, a peace that is indescribable, a peace that is beyond comprehension. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 is often a passage that I like to use to speak like a benediction, if you will, like a liturgical word over God's people at the end of a message. But I want you to listen to it. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. I pray that you leave here today with the overwhelming, indescribable peace that comes from God and Him alone.